Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. What I thought we'd talk about tonight, while we're waiting on our first call, is I title it Sanctified Sins. These are ways that our culture have redefined sin. They take a sin, something the Bible defines as a sin, and they call it something else. They change the name of it to try to justify it, to try to change what our view of it should be. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And so, if you call a dog a cat, it doesn't make it a cat. If you call something evil good, it doesn't make it good. If the Bible calls it evil, it's evil. No matter if we try to call it good, that doesn't make any difference. For example, the idea of adultery. Adultery, people of the world, people in our culture don't say, that man and that woman are committing adultery together. They say they're having an affair. Affair doesn't sound so bad, does it? Let's call it an affair, and it doesn't sound like it's wrong. It sounds like it's okay to do. But the Bible calls it adultery. On this program, we've read Matthew 19, verse 9, many times. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Galatians 5:19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." And so, we can call it an affair, but it's still adultery. And verse 21 says, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Don't expect to go to heaven if you're committing adultery. If you're having what the world calls an affair, an adulterous affair, don't expect to go to heaven. If you have a Bible question, call us at 1-877-655-6755. Verse 21 of Galatians 5, "Envyings, murders, drunkenness," underline that for now, "revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Again, underline drunkenness. People act like drunkenness is not a sin. They say, instead of saying don't drink, they say don't drink and drive. As if it's okay to get drunk as long as you don't drive. But the Bible says the drunkenness to start with is sin. People, they call drunkenness, a person that gets drunk a lot, and they call it alcoholism, as if it's a sickness. Something that it's not your fault that happened. That's what we usually think of as a sickness. You got sick. It's not your fault. And alcoholism, that's a sickness. No, it's not a sickness. At least not in that sense. Alcoholism, drunkenness, is something we choose to do. We bring it on ourselves, and it's a sin. It's a choice we make. Just to say it's a sickness doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. Felix from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I just wanted to know, you hear people say, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But then you also hear it say that the dead in Christ shall rise. So what do you do when you die? Are you in your body? Are you dead?
You know, the main thing to know about this, we could have a whole lesson on this in the details, but the main thing to know is Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So after we die, we're going to face God in judgment. And after the judgment, then, we're either going to go to heaven or everlasting punishment after the judgment.
Right.
Did you want to know more detail than that at this time, Felix?
Well, I've just heard the pastor talk about, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, and then he'd be reading scriptures and it says, people are asleep, and I just didn't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? It kind of confused me.
Yes. Felix, I don't really want to take the time right now to go in this detail on the air, but I'm going to give you and the audience a passage to read. And that's the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which is in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. It describes the story of them going into Hades. the rich man went into torments. Lazarus, he went in Abraham's bosom, comfort. And so this is what happens when a person dies while they're waiting the judgment. The righteous, those who have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, will be going to comfort. Paradise is called in Luke 23:43, and the wicked will be going into torments, and that's where they'll be until the judgment day. And then the righteous, those that are saved by Christ, will go to heaven, and those that are lost, those that did not obey Christ, will go to everlasting punishment. Felix, does that make sense?
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's kind of
confusing. I looked at that real quickly, so I want you to look it up afterwards, Felix. Luke 16:19-31. And then if you have some more comments or questions or further discussion about it, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your call, Felix.
Thank you, and you have a good evening.
Charles from Spokane, Washington. How you doing, friend?
Oh, doing fine there, Pat. I have a question for you. Are you aware of any nation, you know, for what I'm talking about, you know, the United States, I'm sure you're going to get to it, but in America now we're accepting sodomy, and that's becoming, you know, they want to mainstream it and make it to be acceptable and everything. Are you aware of any nation since Bible times that has gone down that road and has come back before it was destroyed or had a, you know, severe major problems? Are you aware of any nation that's turned the corner before they got thumped, so to speak?
Chuck, I'm not a history buff, but all I know is that I guess we get that term sodomy from the Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is not looking favorably upon our nation. I don't think he has for quite some time. Our nation has been going downhill. We're just in your and my lifetime, we've seen how quickly, when we were young, even the world knew homosexuality is wrong. And now, not only does the world think it's perfectly acceptable, a lot of churches are now starting to accept it. You know what I mean, Chuck?
Yeah, that's really shocking that you have people, you know, going down, or yes, people who call themselves Christians accepting that kind of stuff. That's pretty amazing, actually.
I can't hardly believe how fast it's happened, Charles, how fast that the homosexuals have gone from being accepted by zero of the people to accepted by 99% of the people. It's amazing how fast it's gone.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it might be due to, you know, we hear of the expression the culture war, and we know that that's usually waged, just like you're talking about alcoholism, as if it's a disease, to take the blame off of the person, whereas the Bible, you know, uses the word drunk or a drunkard to, you know, which puts the blame on the person and also gives the person the option to change, because if you did it, then you can undo it. And I notice in Deuteronomy 23:17-18, God refers to homosexuals as dogs. And, you know, Ezekiel chapter 23, he talks about the Israelites as being a couple of whores, and it actually gets pretty graphic in there. And,
hey,
I'm
Chuck,
thinking, you know, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You know, the Andy Griffith Show back in the 60s had Otis, and he was a drunk. Nobody thought it was somebody else's fault. It was Otis's fault for getting drunk. You know, Chuck, your point plays right along into the point overall in this lesson, and that about sanctified sins, that we change the name of it to make it sound okay. Homosexuality, we used to think of those people as being perverted. They were perverts because they were. They were perverted. Now we say, well, that's their sexual preference, as if it's just a preference, and you can choose anything you want to, and it's okay, a sexual preference. But Romans 1:26-27 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile, V-I-L-E, vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And what that says is not only is this a sin, Chuck, it's against nature. Anybody can tell that. The body parts don't fit. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So this is a vile thing. It's an error. It's unseemly. It's not just a sexual preference, as if we're free to choose what we want to. Any follow-up, Chuck?
No. I appreciate you preaching the word on that. There's a very precious few people doing that, and that's part of our problem, I think, is nobody's talking about and condemning it. Anyway, thank you. Have a good evening.
Hey, and we appreciate your encouragement, Charles, okay?
You bet.
Thank you.
Morris.
And so it doesn't matter if we change homosexuality to sexual preference. The Bible still flat out condemns it in all shapes, form, and fashion. It doesn't matter if they say they got married. That doesn't make any bit of difference. It doesn't justify the sin. You know, a related sin, fornication. And let me get back to Galatians 5:19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. We've already talked about adultery. Homosexuality is a form of fornication, but a lot of times we say fornication, we're talking about two young people that have relations before they're married. And we see a lot of adults, in effect, saying it's okay for their kids to do that. They just say, well, we know they're going to do it. We can't stop them, so we want to encourage them to practice safe sex. So the parents, the adults, and the schools give out condoms instead of teaching them that this is wrong, that the Bible says fornication is wrong, Galatians 5:19, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, verse 21. We say, okay, they're going to do it, so let's teach them how to practice safe sex. That's just dumbing it down, acting like it's okay when the Bible says that it's not. You know the term living together. We don't say two people are shacking up or committing fornication together. We say they're living together. We're trying to make something that's called a sin by God. We're trying to make it by changing the terminology, changing the name for it. We're trying to make it sound like it's not as bad as it really is. Speaking of the Andy Griffith Show, even on the Andy Griffith Show, Andy would tell a lie to, say, protect Barney's feelings or something, and it was presented as if it was okay because he was doing it for a good reason. But the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It doesn't matter if you change the name of a lie to a fib, or try to say it's not a very bad lie because it was just a white lie, like the ones that Andy Griffith told. Now, I love the Andy Griffith Show, but still, Andy told lies to prop up Barney's feelings. And just because he may have had a good motivation, it doesn't make it right. As I said, you can change the name of lie to fib to try to make it sound like it's not bad, but Revelation 21, verse 8 is still going to say that you're going to be lost if you tell a lie and you don't repent of it. Changing the name of a sin doesn't make it okay. Doesn't, quote, sanctify the sin. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or a comment. What about what people do? And I see a lot of people who claim to be believers do this. They cuss. Sometimes people call it cursing. But in our society, at least in Alabama, we call it cussing. They have filthy language, tell filthy jokes. And people try to make it okay. They say, well, there are times that you can use that, this kind of filthy language, cussing effectively. Or they might say, it's unprofessional to do it at the workplace, as if it was okay to do it elsewhere. They might call it adult language. But let me read you Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. I think Colossians 3 and also Ephesians 4:29 condemn this kind of language. Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We may call it adult language. We may say, well, It's okay to use that at home, but not at work. But the Bible says, put off filthy communication. It's never right. Don't ever say a cuss word. Don't ever take the Lord's name in vain. Just don't do it. In the words of, I think, was it Mrs. Reagan that said that when she was talking about drugs? Just don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't say it. Get it out of your mind. Don't watch shows that are filled with, TV shows that are filled with that language. Don't listen to the radio if it's filled with that language, because then it gets in your mind. And you can't, you'll think about it. You're much more likely to let the words escape out of your mouth if you've been thinking about it and watching entertainment that includes all of that. Just by changing the name of it to strong language, instead of saying outright what it is filthy communication, filthy language, that's not going to justify it. The Bible, God still condemns it. You know, this, you may not have thought about this, but probably maybe you have, but we even do this with murder. We change the name of murder to abortion, and then it doesn't sound like murder. Abortion, that doesn't sound like murder, but if we called it the murder of unborn children, I think a lot more people would be against it. But because they changed the name of murder of unborn children to abortion, they can sway the audience. More people think it's okay. Especially when they say this, oh, I'm pro-choice. Well, everybody thinks it's good to have a choice. And so if somebody's pro-choice, that must be a good thing. But what are they pro-choice about? They're in favor of choosing that a mother should have the right to choose to murder her unborn child. So even though, quote, pro-choice sounds good, it's not good. That they're talking about murder. Back to Galatians 5:21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Remember, it says murders. That includes, that's not just talking about murder in the street, on the streets, but that's talking about the murder of unborn children too. Murders and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't go to heaven. They won't be saved. They will not be saved. It doesn't matter if you change the name of a sin to something more palatable. The Bible still says the same thing about it. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. How about pornography? It doesn't sound as bad to say adult movie, does it? Adult entertainment. If you call it pornography, it would sound much worse, so they changed the name to adult movie or adult entertainment is what I hear. What does Matthew 5:28 say? You know, Jesus says, you know, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But then he follows that up, that's in verse 27, he follows that up in verse 28 by saying, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. When a person, say a man, looks at pornography, then he is lusting after women on purpose. Now, any time I lust after a woman other than my wife, it's a sin. But sometimes I don't plan on doing it. I might not plan on doing it, but I do it. But here's a person that's looking at pornography. He's not trying to fight it at all. That's what men should do. They should try to fight this temptation. And admittedly, it's hard. They should try to fight it. But instead of trying to fight it, they're inviting it into their minds by looking at pornography or the internet. Or as I say, maybe a movie. Again, they call it adult entertainment, but it's really just pornography. If you have a Bible question or a comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. What I've been talking about tonight is sanctified sins. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Again, drunkenness. Just because you, as as Chuck pointed out, just because you call it a disease doesn't mean that you didn't choose to do it. It's just changing the name of it. Instead of condemning fornication, we're saying practice safe sex. We call adultery an affair, but the Bible condemns adultery. Homosexuality, that's just their sexual preference. It may be their preference, but it's a sinful preference. We like to call a lie a fib to kind of dumb it down a little bit, make it sound not so bad, but it's still a lie. Cursing is called adult language. The Bible calls it filthy communication. Murder, in the case of abortion, is called pro-choice. Sounds good, doesn't it? We're all in favor of people having a choice. But it's murder. It's murder of the innocent little children. Adult entertainment, that's really pornography. The Bible says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if you have ever become a Christian or not. If you don't change from committing these sins, you can't be saved. We appreciate you listening tonight. We have about two or three more minutes. If you have a call, a question, or a comment, call us at 877-655-6755. You know, we were talking about homosexuality and how that many churches in the last 10, 15, 20 years have changed from opposing gay marriage to not only accepting it, but performing gay wedding ceremonies. But what does 2 John verses 9 through 11 say about that? First it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So people that practice homosexuality, they're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, so they don't have God. They can't be saved. Am I saying a homosexual, it's impossible for them to be saved? No, they can repent and quit being a homosexual and they can be saved. Then verse 10 and 11, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Even if we're not a homosexual, if we encourage or help somebody else commit that sin, if we are a part of a church that accepts gay marriage, then we, and we don't say anything about it, we don't try to get them to change, we become a partaker in their evil deeds. It shows how important this is. Not only must we live right, we need to worship with a congregation that's faithfully following God's Word. Kimberly from Houston, Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I would like to know, well, maybe you can comment, I don't know how to put this, but about husbands making negative comments towards their wives and thinking that it's okay or thinking that it's a joke and that it's just funny. I don't believe it to be funny.
Kimberly, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." I don't believe that a husband who's making derogatory comments unjustified about his wife, in the sense you were talking about, I don't think he's loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Do you?
No.
Okay. That's what we got to do. Thank you for your call, Kimberly. We're going to have to go off the air. Brad, you're on the line. If you'll hang on, I'll try to get you after the program. We appreciate you listening tonight. If you want to discuss these things further, if you have any other questions, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.